Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Well, a graduate, actually the top 10% of the class, Catholic Media School of, articulation and stuff. Do you know what she said? She said, I said, are you going to agree with me? She said, no, I'm sorry. She didn't have to be sorry to not agree with me. She didn't do anything wrong. I mean, if she's okay with being actually wrong in the sense of her perception. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program here. The doctor is in, as the man said. Over there in Ave Maria Radio Studios is Andrew Kruchek, producer man and very bored operator, not interested, disinterested. Eric Dumont, the call screamer, answers the phone. I would be delighted to have a conversation with you, however short it might be and however much I might dominate it. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number to call to get on to the program. I was at the office this morning seeing folks, and I'm gone there this afternoon, but in between here, the sandwich part of my day, I get a chance to come on the radio and talk with you about the stuff of life. Situations for you that are perplexing and troubling. Well, maybe they're not. Maybe they're you would just like to call me and I say something and you think to yourself, I could have thought of that. I do that on purpose. Makes you feel better. I sacrifice myself to make you feel better. I come across 30 IQ points less than I have. 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal. Now, you don't have to call with a particular problem or question. You can call with help for somebody else. Or it doesn't have to be particular. It can be generic. Something that you'd like to know about psychology, or psychology as it intersects with faith, or development, or intellect, or emotions, anything like that. One of the things that a good therapist does is to help people who come in think better. Lots of flaws in people's thinking. Doesn't square with reality, or it is a misinterpretation, or it's just illogical. And they use that thinking to form their morals, to form how they perceive life, which can cause them a lot of problems. And that kind of thinking is pervasive in justification of morality. People who disagree with the church and its teaching, even though they're Catholic, they have their reason for disagreeing with the church, and they justify it with thinking that, in fact, makes no sense. Let me give you an example. I have had many people, sadly, even priests, or a priest, in essence, vote for pro-abortion candidates. Very, very pro-abortion candidates. We're not talking someone who says, well, I don't know, I just think it should be safe, legal, and rare. No, not the old Bill Clinton thing. This is someone who says, I want to make abortion available to everybody all the time. And their thinking behind that is, I'm not a one-issue voter. There are a lot of issues to consider. In the tapestry of life, I am not a one-issue voter. Typically, the standard response to that is, but wait, it's a really big issue. A baby dying, getting killed in the womb is a major issue. It's not minimum wage. That doesn't move anybody. How about this? Okay, you're not a one-issue voter. I have a question for you. Let's say there were a candidate that you agreed with every single position that he or she held. Everyone. You couldn't be more in tune with their policies. However, they did have a policy that they wanted to try to implement to the best of their legal ability, were they elected, that we're spending way, way too much money taking care of people's physical ills after age 75. If you look at the dollar amount spent by the government on people's health after age 75, it dwarfs the rest of the life cycle. So let's just say that the policy that they want to implement, because it would just save a whole lot of money, and come on, these people have lived to 75. They've had their fair share of life. So, they clearly say, I'm going to do everything I can to stop any kind of government support medically for anyone 75 and over. They're on their own. Would you vote for that person? Most people will not give you an honest answer.
Well, that kind of depends. I got to know more. I got to know more about that.
Well, there's nothing to know. The person advocates a policy that says, after age 75, you've lived your life, you don't really need to siphon off the vast majority of medical expenses in this country. But you do agree with everything else the politician says. Would you vote for them? Now, when I have posited this to people, they stare at me. Not too many of them quickly say, no, I would not, because they know where that's leading. So they stare. Or they say, well, that's never going to happen, so I'm not faced with that. They would say something to dodge it. Then I say, well, if you wouldn't vote for that person because of that policy that they want to implement, whether they do or whether they don't, they want to, you are a one-issue voter. It just depends upon the issue. I pose this to a relative of mine who is much older and very proud of being Catholic, yet at the same time, she really doesn't agree with Catholic Church teaching on several moral issues. And I use the one issue of, if a candidate said that someone over 70 should not be allowed to vote, they've had their voting, that's enough. Because people over 70 are really not going to live more than 10 or 20 more years, and much of what they vote on really isn't relevant to a 30-year-old voting, because a 30-year-old is going to have to live with these policies for the next 40, 50 years. So the 70-year-old really doesn't have all that much skin in the game anymore. So if you agreed with the particular politician, but that was one of their ideas... And by the way, people think, those are ridiculous. That's ridiculous. No politician would ever do that. Are you kidding me? You've seen some of the things they've come up with? So given that, would you vote for him? And she looked at me, and she refused to answer. And I said, well, I guess that makes you a one-issue voter. Just depends on the issue. For me, killing a baby is a pretty big issue. The old one-issue voter makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. You don't have to be religious to know that. It's just logically nonsensical. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm Dr. Ray.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Welcome to Educating for Eternity. Catholic education is the only education that helps form the person to understand his sublime dignity and the eternal joy that awaits him. Christians know that Christ lives in the sacred scriptures. The Church venerates the divine scriptures in the same way that she venerates the Holy Eucharist. This is why feasting at the table of the Word is just as important as feasting at the table of the Eucharist. Understanding this, St. Jerome says with conviction, ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. In Scripture, Christ guides us to the whole truth. Educating for Eternity is presented by the faculty of Father Gabriel Richard High School. Learn more about the intellectual and spiritual benefits of a Father Gabriel Richard High School education at fgrhs.org. That's fgrhs.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Dr. Ghirardi, a combination of virile femininity, masculine sensitivity, and physical spirituality. The only host in all of Catholic media that can take days off your purgatory because I can be so irritating to listen to. Good to have you with me. I appreciate your calls. I want to get to everybody. Eileen, Southbury, Connecticut, has a grandson, 15. Confined to his house during COVID. Eileen, how confined is he?
Very confined. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't leave the house. He's in his room 12 to 14 hours a day studying. He's 15, but he's a year ahead in school. He's very gifted, and he's doing college this year and last year, along with his second year of high school, and he has become very depressed, very, very depressed and very upset. And I am his grandmother, and he will call me sometimes late at night and say, "Can I come?" And I say, "Yes. Do you want me to come now and get you?" He said, "No, we'll wait till morning." And then he changes his mind. He does come once in a while, but not enough. His depression that he's having is not because of the work so much. Although he's so gifted, his grades are beyond description. In every way, he's gifted. He's a special
Eileen, what is your concern?
My concern is that when I am there with them, the family, his mother and father bicker from morning till night if they're together during, my daughter-in-law works full-time. My son works only part-time.
Do you have access to your grandson, whatever you want?
I try to, yes.
They don't keep you away?
No. But
okay.
What I'm asking you is, I decided last week I'm going to do something about this because He has told me privately how depressed he is, and since sixth grade.
Okay, let me interrupt you here. I know you're kind of giving me the details. Have you talked to his parents about this?
Yes.
Okay, so they're aware.
They're aware, and because
and you don't think they're going to do anything about it?
Well, they said now, because my two older sons have got involved since I called for help from them.
Okay.
Help me.
Narrow it down for me, if you would. What do you think you can do about this?
All right. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to help my grandson. What I had suggested to them was, or my grandson suggested it himself, to go with his brother in New Hampshire for a month so he gets a change of scenery. And
okay. So you said that suggestion to them. Did they accept it?
No.
Okay.
They'd be willing to help him and get him help. But I, being practicing Catholic all the way, don't feel that.
Okay, here's your problem. Eileen, your problem.
Yes.
They're the parents, you're not.
I know.
And you can
listen to you every day.
You can say what you wish, but if they don't take it, you don't have much in the way of leverage. What I would suggest is wherever possible, this is why I asked that first question early on, wherever possible, take him out to breakfast. Go out with him. Just let him bend your ear about things. Now, be careful, because he's going to complain a lot about his parents, and you don't want to get caught in the middle of that. But just do what you can to provide a sounding board or a presence that he feels like, I can talk to Grandma about these things. I've tried talking to my mom and dad, and I don't get anywhere. That's what you can offer on this, okay? Because it's not uncommon.
I've done that.
Okay, then you keep doing it. You keep doing
well,
it.
Well, here, but that's
okay, I'm
going
to have to cut you
problem.
Off because I'm running out of time here, dear.
Okay.
Do you have one quick question to go, and then we'll move on?
It's my son who's the problem.
Okay.
That's the problem. Well, the problem is he goes into rages because him and his wife fight all the time.
Then the only thing I think you can do with this kind of situation that really sounds turbulent is that wherever possible, they allow you to have a relationship with that young man so that you can be a comforting, stabilizing influence in his life, given that he's living in that situation that they probably don't want you to try to control. That'd be my guess. And so as much as your ideas might be so good for him, they still are not going to let you get through with them, my dear. There's the problem. So you focus on that relationship with that young man. I got a feeling he'll definitely come to appreciate that. Okay? Let's see. Krista, Beverly Hills, Michigan. Hi, Chris. You want to make a comment on the Manalong, huh? Hey, Krista.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry.
Did I wake you up?
It's nap time.
All right.
No, I was just calling because I like your argument and how to stop people from calling me a one-issue voter, but I also feel like abortion speaks about the way people process. And so it's an overreaching one reason. You know, it's allowing the fruit of one's actions to be removed, you know,
what do you
consequences
mean? Okay,
and kind of the series. So I'm not calling to argue with you. I just think it's a big one, right? Compared to like any other issue that somebody is passionate about. This speaks about how they're going to make all of their decisions.
What I've found is, Krista, that if you directly just attempt to persuade them by saying,
right,
you know, hey, that's a little baby, and all of the developmental arguments that you can make,
sure,
not even religious arguments, unless you show them, I mean, they're here and there, believe it or not, there are people who will say, humbly, I never looked at it that way.
Right.
Yeah, here and there. Now, there ain't many of them. I'll tell you that from a shrink's perspective. There's not a whole lot of them because they clean.
They don't even admit it to you.
There you go. That's exactly right. Yeah. I had a friend tell me one time, he said, when I left you, he looked like he was just flat out unbudgeable. He said, when I left you on the way home, I thought about what we talked about. And he said, I turned to my wife and said, did I sound as stupid as I think I did?
Oh, my goodness.
But at the time we were talking, if you'd have been listening to that, you'd have said, Ray's butting his head against a cinder block wall.
Right.
So you never know.
Dr. Ray, I think that's the important thing in reminding us to speak the truth, even if it's uncomfortable, because it might look like a brick wall, but eventually they might come around. So,
I gotcha.
Thank you for your wisdom.
Thank you, Krista. Talk to you, honey.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
Warren from New York. This is, I'd say, close to the number one reason that people come to my office for marriage counseling. Hi, Warren. How are you?
Good. Hey, my wife and I kind of separated because of the coronavirus, and we went to stay with my mom because her work had several people with corona, and my mom is 85, so we didn't want to take it to her. So it ended up being a longer separation, and we only planned it to be a couple of weeks, and it ended up being several months. And during that time, she ended up having an affair on me. And we've reconciled since, and she says she's sorry, and I'm just having a real hard time getting past it and forgiving her and all.
Do you want to leave the relationship, Warren?
No.
Okay. So Okay, go ahead.
I've got three little girls from 6 to 9. No, I don't want to leave it.
Okay. Well, that's the first thing you got to decide. Because if you are going to stay in that marriage, which you've said I want to do, leaving is not an option.
Right.
Good. You are on your first step toward forgiveness. I would suggest that I'm hoping you believe your wife. I'm hoping she's being honest about all this. And if that's the case, then don't worry so much about having the right emotions of forgiveness. In other words, I just don't feel warm toward her. I can't get it out of my mind. I don't want to be with her. I just keep thinking about it.
See, I can feel warm towards her and everything like that, but it's just when she goes to work and I'm at my work and I'm just thinking of her being with another guy, it just breaks my heart.
Be careful, and I know this is going to sound really funny. Be careful that you don't take it personally. Oh, Dr. Ray, what are you talking about? How could you not take it personally? Warren, what she did, I'm sure she admitted to you, she feels bad about, and she was wrong. But when you say to yourself, how could she do this to me? After all the love I've shown her, after what a wonderful husband I've been, assuming that's what you think. How could she do this? Well, she did it out of moral weakness. May have had nothing at all to do with you. But if she'd loved me enough, she wouldn't have done it. We can talk about that one if we had a lot more time.
I don't think it would have ever happened hadn't we separated. I think she got lonely. And
okay.
Perhaps. I think that was the bigger driver.
Okay. Then it isn't personal in your mind. So what I would suggest is that you do what you can to treat her well, as best as you can treat her. Just fake it if you have to. Treat her well. Know that time will allow you to warm up and her to warm up. I've seen so many marriages who have survived this. So many. I can't. If I open these phones up right now, they'd be flooded with people who said we're stronger in our marriage now than we were. I drove through McDonald's yesterday, and the young lady said, and I told the young lady, I said, I'd like some fries. She said, would you like fries with that? Yeah, sometimes you just get into a rhythm. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray. Thank you for calling me. 877-57 equals the number if you'd like to get onto the phone lines. As I have always said, it doesn't matter when you call. We take calls in a certain planned random order. Andrea from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Oh, you almost ordained me just that quick.
I know. For some reason, I do that all the time with your name when I'm talking about you.
I don't think it'll hold, though. You know what I'm saying? I could declare it. I could say, hey, Andrea ordained me, but I just don't think I got the leverage. Nice try, though.
Oh, my. All right. Well, what I called about was I want you to write another book, and this time I want you
It's easy for you to say.
Why
don't you just write another book, Ray?
Well, I'm looking at the landscape for my grandchildren, and they're very sweet, and Christians and Catholics grow up thinking everybody is just as loving as they are. And it's actually not true. It's not so. But when they go out into the world to date, they need to have a roadmap, questionnaire, something, so that they don't fall into the clutches of somebody who's not as nice as they are.
Andrea, there are a number of pretty good books out there on courtship, dating. My wife even had a couple of them. I forget their titles. Not How to Find a Good Spouse, but it was more religious. Those books are out there. However, I, too, have a book. My most recent one, I got another one coming up here roughly in June, but this one is How to Raise an Upright Child in an Upside Down World.
Right.
And it talks about what we're surrounded by.
Okay.
It talks about all the forces that attempt to misshape our children, their personalities, their souls. It also talks about how parents are nervous fighting this culture. They're afraid their kids are going to get resentful, that they will stand out like sore thumb Neanderthal throwbacks in a culture that says, come this way, and the kid looks at the mom and dad and say, hey, how come you're not letting me? So I do have that book. It's available on my website, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World. It's there. And I was glad that you called to give me a chance to just do a cheap advertisement.
Glad to help.
And you read the question just like I wrote it for you, so I could lead right into that. Thank you, dear. Thanks for the call.
All righty, bye-bye.
All righty, bye. Dawn, Tennessee. Hi, Dawn. Hello, Dawn. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
Thanks for the call.
Hi. No problem. I am calling about changing the word of abortion to mechanically separated human tissue parts. You know.
Just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It does, you know. And then when you use that term, people's reactions are a little bit of a pause, and it's like, oh, ew, that's disgusting. That's my point. You know.
Father
and then,
Pavone says that we will never stop abortion until people realize what it actually is.
That's true. I actually saw my very first video. I think it was a PragerU video, Doctor, and it was nicely done. Wow, that was pretty descriptive, and it was very tactfully done, but it was very image-filled. other thing that I wanted to call about,
sure.
Was that?
Go ahead, please.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was when speaking with pro-choice people, I like to say that, you know what, your reasons for wanting abortion are so good, they make so much sense, that I really think that we should continue it on to the fourth trimester until the child is 18 years old. Because when you think about it, all of your reasons, like, I'm not ready to have a kid, I don't want a kid, they're expensive, I don't have the means to do it, I want, you know, there's a birth defect, or I want my reproductive rights. You know, like, that's all, everything that you can discover when in their fourth trimester of life, you know. So you realize after a kid's born that, you know, they're expensive. I can't handle this anymore. Let's abort them from the world. Oh, wait, it's called abort from the earth. Sorry.
Well, my you don't realize that you have tapped into. Are you familiar with a man named Peter Singer?
No.
I believe he is a quote-unquote ethicist, and I believe he's from Stanford. And he has put forth the idea that from a logical perspective, little kids, infants, are really incapable of functioning on their own. And using the logic of, as you say, abortion reasons, that could be carried over into young infants. So if you just look at it that way, if you say, well, once they're born, you've kind of got an artificial sort of line there. Once they're born, we can't do that. But what is the difference between born and the day before born? You know, that's what you're trying to say. It's really very artificial.
I'm not so much trying to say that date. My date is when they turn 18, because they're my legal responsibility. And therefore, at any point before that, because it's my body, my responsibility, because let's face it, I'm a mom of a couple kids. They wreak havoc on my body. You know, I want to be done with this. So why can't I just abort them from the earth?
My kids wreak havoc on my mind.
Yeah, you know, this is another reason. This is just a valid, just, you know, you could come up with, it's an absolute good reason. So tell me why it's not a good reason to extend it till they're 18. And if we want equality between a man and a woman, the woman gets the choice for the first 40 weeks to abort this child from the face of the earth. The man should also have 40 weeks after the child is born, whether or not he wants to have this child in his life. And if he says yes, great, parent support. If he says no, then he should have the absolute right to have that child wiped out from his life. Therefore, no child support. And then at any point, because we want equality, that any parent given the first 18 years that they are responsible for this child should be able to abort from the earth. You know?
It's a provocative question. It's a provocative question, and I'm sure people would look at you like you have four heads. But sometimes logic takes you places you don't really want to go. 877-57-EQUAL. Dr. Ray. On this program is, if you disagree with me, we really put you straight to the front. If I can't offer a reasonable explanation to why I made the point I made, I hadn't really thought it through enough. I was just kind of shooting from the hip. However, there is a corollary to that, which is, I don't quite understand what you said. I don't quite understand why you said it. Which can be a corollary that says, I don't agree with you. Or it can be a corollary that says, I'm truly perplexed. And I'm not sure. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Good.
Help me out here. You weren't sure what I was saying about what.
about would you vote for someone that would cut all health care services after age 75? Because I came from an era when there weren't too many health services available, and I'm a retired physician, actually. And we used to routinely make decisions not to give a lot of care to elderly people. Say they had dementia and were at the end of their life, they would get pneumonia. And then we would just say to families, oh, we're doing everything we can. And we'd tell nurses, oh, just, you know, feed them and keep them comfortable. And we did withdraw services, and it wasn't a big deal. And now we're living in this era where we have an elderly person in that same state, and we say, do you want us to send you to the hospital? We give them the choice. Should we send you to the hospital for triple antibiotic therapy? Which never made sense to me. As a Catholic, I always felt natural death is sometimes a blessing for the elderly. And so I'm not sure what you're referring to when you're asking this question.
The first thing I think that strikes me is when you described how you used to do it, you said an interesting phrase. You said we did all we could do. Okay. At that point, you said, all right, there isn't much more for us here to do. And you're right. It was at a time, and it's not all that long ago, when the government was not involved in health care like that. So as a result, many people did decide, well, okay, I'm close to the end here, and there isn't much that I'm going to ask for. But now, especially Canada and the U.S., now the government's very, very involved in prolonging or pushing back death and saying, we will provide these services, whatever they cost. So given that, what I was saying was, when people say that they vote for a pro-abortion politician because they're not a one-issue voter, there are plenty of other issues at play, so therefore abortion is just one of the issues. I said, okay, present them with this issue. If a candidate said, once you reach 75, I believe the government should have no role whatsoever in prolonging your life through medical treatments at all. If you agreed with every other single thing that candidate said, except that, would you vote for him? And my point was, most people I've presented that with either don't say a word, they don't answer it, or they make some excuse why that's not going to happen, but in fact, they wouldn't vote for that. Then my point was, you are a one-issue voter. It just depends upon the issue. Does that clarify it?
No.
No?
Because what are you saying? That people want life prolonged beyond natural causes, regardless of the cost. Like we didn't think that way 50 years ago.
Well, they do now. They do now. Of course, they do.
But that's not even a Catholic issue. I mean, if you really
well, yeah, yes and no, Elizabeth. I'm not talking about heroic measures. I'm talking about simple surgeries, antibiotics, whatever. That would deal with, if somebody 76 years old walks in and says, I can't walk, my knees are so bad, I can't walk, I'm confined to a wheelchair. And the government says, well, sorry, unless you can pay for it yourself, we're not doing it. It's not going to happen. Because we've passed the law that anybody over 75 gets no medical care of any kind. Not heroic, any kind. If that were a politician's position, would you vote for him? No matter what else he said he was for and you agreed with. Does that make it clearer?
The example you gave. Hello?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
That example that you gave, we used to say to elderly people, get a walker and do the best you can. We did not send people for surgery. Because we knew that often people didn't do that well in surgery at that age. And again, every case would be looked at individually. But this business where, I mean, to me, the only people that are laughing all the way to the bank are some of the doctors that are doing those knee replacements now. Like,
Elizabeth, I think you're bringing up a different issue. You're saying it's judged by a case-by-case basis, and you're absolutely right. What medical intervention do you attempt? I'm saying that if, this is hypothetical, if a political figure said, I am running on the policy that says, under no circumstances, no matter what the condition, you have pneumonia. You'll die if we don't treat your pneumonia at age 76. And the government said, sorry, we do not cover that unless you can pay for it yourself. Forget it. Would you vote for a politician that had that as an issue? And most people would not. So it is a one-issue voter. Just depends on the issue. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your help.
Okay, you're welcome. Well, I thought I was clear. 877-57-EQUAL. See if we can get another call or two in when I come back. Love to hear from you.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
Are you a radical lover of God? This is Vanessa Denha-Garmo, exhorting you to hold nothing back. We have guests this weekend who give great witness, like Omar Binnu. Father Adam DeLeon will share the stories of African Americans who are on the road to sainthood. Dr. Monica Miller joins us, and I also ask Eric Dumont about the neat way he connects gaming and our faith. Tap that app or tune in at 11:30 on Saturday and 3 on Sunday. Epiphany on Ave Maria Radio.
I am glued to my phone, but not for pleasure. My work keeps me texting and emailing all day long. I take calls, go onto social media, and check voicemail for work. I didn't realize how much it bothered my daughter until we jokingly placed a bet. What she wanted if she won was a day with me without my phone. Not a new game or a new piece of clothing. She didn't wager a movie or money. She wagered my time. What a reality check. She asked for a mommy and daughter day that included me leaving my phone in my purse. I could not text, call, or email one person. I could not respond to calls or voicemails. I had to give her all my attention. But I have work and I have clients. But I also have a daughter. And when she takes notice of me being distracted, so do I. I'm grateful that some of the lessons I teach her are being absorbed. She found her voice to express how she feels, and what she wanted from her mom was time. Are you spending quality time with your kids? This has been a Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
We got another EWTN partner, Holy Family Radio in Michigan. 10th anniversary, you guys. Vince Gale, all the team, Holy Family, started with one station, Grand Rapids. Now they got four of them. Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo. I got a gal in Kalamazoo. Battle Creek, and they cover most of West Michigan. 10 years old. Way to go, you guys. Very cool. Ken, from our new affiliate in San Diego, out there in California. Ken, I get this one as a shrink all over the place. How are you, Ken?
Good, thank you. I'm sure you do. So a couple of guideposts or tidbits of helping. How does one really work to forgive oneself when, you know, that self-abuse and criticism, et cetera, just is so rampant in my head all the time?
Start out by saying you're not God.
There you go.
Because God forgives you.
Right.
And if you say, I don't, then you're saying, well, I'm better than God.
I agree. I think one of the insights I've been hearing in my meditation or contemplation was that you don't trust me enough.
Well, that's true.
Meaning, I don't trust God.
Yeah. He says, I will forgive you. If you have regret, remorse, and an amendment not to do it again, I will forgive you. There's nothing I can't forgive. Nothing I can't forgive. I always look at St. Paul. You know, St. Paul persecuted Christians, and our Lord chose him to write most of the New Testament. What?
Right.
That ain't the way I would do it.
Yeah.
So, and part of it is, you know what? I'm going to throw something at you that might shake you up here.
Sure.
Because you wouldn't think this is it. When you do this, when you don't forgive yourself for your foibles and your weaknesses or even your great sins.
Right.
That's prideful.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking too. That's another message. And help me understand that a little bit better.
Because what you're saying is, gee, I'm so good, I shouldn't have done that. And the fact that I did it just is right. Oh gosh, it's so awful because I'm better than that. No, you're not. Neither am I.
Right.
So
I see that point.
Yeah, if you accept that with all your ugliness you got in you, that God still loves you and your value as a human being doesn't depend one whit upon how quote unquote good you are, then you're okay.
Can I translate that a bit?
Sure,
what
help
I'm
me
not
out.
Willing to, what I'm not willing to accept is I'm human who's fallen, and I can fall into any sin and recognize that I have that ability without Christ.
Yeah. Just look around you.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. When you don't,
for the grace of God, I would have been Dr. Ray.
When you don't forgive yourself, you're saying a couple of things. One, well, God says I should forgive myself, but I don't believe God. God forgives me. I don't forgive me. Therefore, somehow, some way, I'm more just than God. Because what I did doesn't deserve forgiveness, and I think God's a little misled forgiving me for that one. You know what I mean? I should have a talk with him. That's two. Three is that self-image that's fluffed up that says, I can't believe I did that. Oh, man. I'm a better person than that. All of that is intertwined in there. And here's what a lot of it comes down to, too, Ken. You don't have to have a certain kind of emotion to feel you've forgiven yourself. All you have to do is really say, well, God forgives me. I don't feel like I forgive me, but that's irrelevant. My feelings are misleading me bad.
Forgiveness with regret?
What do you mean?
In a sense that I have to learn how to accept the consequences of my behavior because there are consequences for the mistakes I've made. Am I confusing that and saying, you know, if I was smarter, better, and all that other stuff, then I wouldn't have to go through the consequences that as a result of my sin?
Feeling the consequences doesn't mean that you didn't forgive you and God didn't forgive you. That doesn't mean that at all.
Right. Okay.
Feeling the consequences is kind of a natural reaction. You know, gravity, you jump off a building, you fall.
Right.
You have an adulterous affair on your wife, and there's all kinds of ugly consequences to that one.
Right.
So in fact, yeah, the consequences reverberate. You know, there's a line from The Natural, Roy Hobbs. What a great line. He says, you know, some mistakes you never stop paying for.
Right.
But just because you're paying for them doesn't mean you weren't forgiven.
Correct.
I've known guys who screwed up their lives royally by leaving their wife and their kids, and 20 years later they still regret what they did.
Right.
Well, it doesn't mean they don't have remorse and that they haven't asked for forgiveness. It just means that those consequences are still reverberating. Two of the kids aren't talking to him anymore, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So here's the thing. I have come to the conclusion that I'm a jerk. So as long as I recognize I'm a jerk, I'm not really surprised by the jerky things I do. How
right,
that? That'll
right.
help you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. I got to watch what I say because Well, it's
yeah, I don't know.
It's true. You know, when I get to the point where I think I'm too good not to sin like that, I'm full of pride.
Right. No, I think that's very valid, and that's something I'm trying to look at is, what, in essence, who am I that I can't fall or haven't fallen?
Yeah.
And then really owning, and then it prevents me from really owning the sin. And then thus sometimes owning the consequences and getting through that.
Yeah, if sin didn't have consequences, I wonder how much more we would sin. I think we would sin a lot more.
Yeah.
Because most sins have some pleasure attached to them. Not all of them, but some. Most.
Right.
And if there were no consequences to them, it's a good thing the Lord wired in the consequences, you know? I think he knows we're like little kids. Little kids don't behave sometimes unless there's consequences. They don't do it because it's the right thing to do. I wonder if our Lord goes, I had to wire consequences into things so you people would start to act better. Thanks for the call, buddy. Good intellectual interchange. Appreciate it very much. It's Dr. A. Thank you for joining me. You're on the line. Didn't get through. Call back. We'll see what we can do to get you in. I appreciate all your company. Walk with God. Walk with God. He ain't going to walk away from you, you know. You walk away from him. That's not good.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.